Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host. Tonight we have a very enlightening guest. Her name is Carolyn Hauser Carson. She's German-trained naturopathic doctor, humanistic psychotherapist, and family constellation facilitator. And she's also the author of the book, Blossom, Seven Steps to Sexual Healing, and her upcoming book is The Pleasure IQ, an internationally recognized speaker and teacher on the subjects of spirituality, healing, and women's empowerment. For almost two decades, Carolyn combines her knowledge to help women and brave men to have abundant, love-filled lives that flow with a sense of ease. Her work is based on the intersection of where the human body and experience meets past and even ancestral trauma, and shows how each individual's authentic and true self is the source of one's own good, a piece of unlimited abundance, creativity, courage, and joyful existence. Carolyn currently lives with her divine partner and soulmate Paul with their two beautiful children in sunny Santa Barbara, California, from where she teaches, speaks, and travels to host healing retreats all over the world. Carolyn Hauser Carson, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. This book is so well needed after the Me Too movement. We have to move past it, though, and I think your book really covers that. So, Carolyn, what inspired you to write this book?
That's a good question. You know, I obviously wasn't one of those things where you just know what you want to be when you grow up, right? I didn't walk around as a child saying, oh, I'm going to just be a sexual trauma healer once I grow up. I actually didn't remember my sexual, my childhood sexual abuse until I was 30, which was a while ago now. But my healing journey really started with beating anorexia and bulimia. I was really sick from when I was 10 years old till I was in my early 20s. So for over 10 years, I was suffering from eating disorders and just could never figure out really why, and tried all kinds of things, and nothing really helped until one day my mom introduced me to family constellations, and I received a session, and within 6 months was able to just kind of like magically shake, you know, these conditions. And that kind of set me off into exploring healing and learning about healing and realizing, well, maybe, you know, that's something I could do since, you know, I had a story of victory to share, so to speak. And so I spent my 20s learning about alternative healing methods and became a naturopathic doctor and humanistic psychotherapist. And fell in love with an American. I'm from Germany. I was born in Germany and did all my training there. And had my first child, and everything seemed to be going pretty good at that point until my daughter turned 3, and with her turning 3, my memories of my early childhood sexual abuse were triggered, and with that a lot of things also started making sense, because I finally kind of knew why, you know, why I had the eating disorders and so forth. And at that point, you know, having already gone through so much training or having already started helping people, I felt very much like it wasn't just about me healing from the sexual abuse, but really taking people with me and doing it in a very transparent and collaborative way. So I had like 250 people who were following me at that point, and several people who then went through the journey with me, and I collected, you know, data from them and got feedback from them. and then basically compiled it all into the book. And so that was 7 years ago now, 6.5 years ago now. Yeah, so that's how the book, you know, that's how the book came about. And obviously, I've evolved since then, but yeah, that's how that all started.
That's great that you can use your own personal experiences or experiences to help others. That's why I think a lot of us healers are here on this earth now. You know, we've been through hell, and now we're teaching people how to get through hell and back. So that's very important.
Yeah.
Very important. Why is the Me Too movement just the beginning, in your opinion?
You know, because, first of all, what I've learned is that, and this is a part of universal truth, is that there's different energy levels and different vibrational levels, and they are connected to our emotional states. And so I just want to say Me Too movement is a good sign, because it basically tells us that people are starting to get out of a state of shame and guilt, which are very low vibrational, very low frequency states. And when people are stuck there, they don't even dare to say anything. And so it's a good sign that we're getting out of a lower state into a little bit of a higher. Anger is a little bit higher than shame and guilt. But in order to feel really good, you know, we want to be at peace and love and joy. And there's still ways to go from voicing your truth and getting into your anger and getting stuff out to really feeling you're living your purpose and living at peace. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good first step. But in order for us to heal and really become peaceful, more needs to happen.
Definitely, because people can stay in that anger for so long instead of moving past it.
Yeah, and it can feel really empowering, you know, because anger has energy, but it's still negative energy and not, I mean, it is better than being apathetic and lethargic, you know, depressed.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, if you really want to have your dream life, so to speak, it can help you for a short while, but then it's not a sustaining energy that will help you create a beautiful life.
Exactly. There's justifiable anger, which alerts
us. It can be a catalyst. You know?
Yeah, catalyst alerts us to the fact that we need to make change in our lives. There's different forms of that.
Exactly.
But you're right that we have to move past that. So on that note, what is your take on catharsis or cathartic healing?
Yeah, so along those lines, you know, cathartic healing can feel really good because you feel like you're getting in touch with these suppressed emotions and you're getting your anger out, or you're getting these feelings that you've denied yourself or suppressed out of your system. You might also feel like you're finally voicing and saying what you need to say. But in terms of your nervous system, which when trauma happens, the nervous system actually gets negatively impacted. So it's not just a psychological problem when trauma happens. And so the nervous system actually doesn't benefit from cathartic healing because it just basically reinforces the trauma. So it almost cements the trauma even further into your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And so you're just staying stuck in a loop of overreaction, fight or flight, and so forth. And so it's not beneficial. Essentially, it can feel, you know, it could feel somewhat beneficial at first, but a lot of people who have gone through cathartic healing will, you know, confirm that you feel good the next couple of days, and then nothing has really changed.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, it's interesting how when you go through the healing processes, you know, there's different types in that, and that's amazing that you went, you know, became a naturopathic doctor, and I respect that, by the way. That's a lot of schooling and a lot of mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
It is. It's a lot. It really is. But I give you credit.
Unlike in medical, in my medical school, you study biochemistry, then you take a test, and then you study anatomy, and then you take a test, you know, every, like, semester or something. When you become a naturopathic doctor, you have to know everything, and they can test you in all different subjects, and, you know, you just have one couple of days where you're being, where you do your finals, and it could be from all kinds of, you know, it could be biochemistry, it could be the heart, it could be a diagnosis, it could be anything, so you... It was a lot of work.
Yes. You know what? That's great that you took that on and you learned. I went to a naturopathic doctor when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and he saved my life. So that's why I have a great respect.
Nice.
And I'm into more naturopathic energy, obviously, because I do energy work. So it's better to do the mind, body, spirit than just treat the anatomy or the symptoms. So
exactly.
What is the most crucial first step when it comes to healing from sexual abuse? And I have a lot of clients that call me about this, so what is your take on that? What is the first step?
The first step, in my opinion, is really to realize that you're not broken, right? Because it can feel like so detrimental. It can feel like, oh, no, I'll never get over this. I'm always going to have this lot in life. I'm always going to feel damaged. And that is not so. Right? There's things that we can do. Most people don't know that when trauma happens, so much, you know, we're talking about sexual trauma today, but any kind of trauma, we think it's a psychological issue, and that's what we've been taught, you know, or mental health issue. And it's actually much more a physical, nervous system impact issue. And for most people that I talk to, that's really freeing to hear, because it's like, okay, you know, it's my body. I can work with my body. You know, when we're trying to work with our psyche, it feels like never ending, you know, but with the body, for some reason, it feels much more practical, and it is much more practical and much more tangible too, and much less scary.
It is. It is. Like I said, healing is mind, body, and spirit, not just the physical. And you, like you mentioned, the mental layer either. It's all of it. It's definitely all of it. And my next question is, how can survivors stop feeling damaged or broken by the abuse? Because for years when I was mentally abused, I felt like I was damaged goods. Sexual abuse, I'm sure, is even worse.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is to realize, you know, that you're not broken. So basically the way I look at it is that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit.
Yes.
And when abuse happens, so the soul, in my worldview, the soul is kind of what holds the spirit and the body together. It's kind of like the connection between the physical and the spiritual. And so when abuse or trauma happens, the connection between the soul and the body gets severed. And so that's why we feel broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the work that I do with people is helping them basically mend that connection between the soul, helping your soul and your spirit to reconnect to your body. It's never gone. It's just that, you know, it's disconnected, and people can do a lot of this work by learning different techniques that will help them be in their bodies and become present and use their senses, for example, because our soul, you know, our soul has to do with experiencing life and experiencing it through our senses. And so one of the ways that I heal myself and help people is to really use pleasure as a path, and not necessarily sexual pleasure, but just the mere pleasure of being a physical being that can do things like feel the sand under your feet or eat a piece of chocolate, you know. Those things have all to do with using our senses. And so I have found that when we use our senses and allow ourselves to start feeling the pleasure that our senses give us in our body, that's part of how we mend the disconnection and how we can start healing. So it has nothing to do with, you know, forgiving or reprogramming or processing or understanding, right? It has nothing to do with any kind of mental capacity. It really has to do with being in your body and experiencing and feeling. And when you do that, you do mend the nervous system.
That is very true, because we do. I've heard of people, I've never been sexually abused myself, but how they can disconnect from that body and almost hate themselves in the way. So that's the beginning. People think it's like so complicated, but it isn't. I think it's very simple.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
What is the one of the main blocks to healing, in your opinion?
I think one of the main blocks is people thinking, especially with sexual abuse, people think they have to relive the trauma in order to move on. So the analogy or the image I like to give to people is, imagine your body is a house. And imagine that lightning strikes the house and the house wasn't correctly wired. And so when the lightning strikes the house, you know, some of the wires will just melt. Some parts of the house will start burning. Some will just, some circuits will just completely break down and so forth. And then after that has happened, the energy and the power in the house cannot flow the way it was before, and it also, the appliances and the things in the house will not work the way they were before.
Mm.
And so it's very similar with your body. When trauma happens, it's a charge that's too big for your electrical wire, you know, to handle. And it literally burns down and breaks down your circuits in your body. Now, if we stayed with the house, you know, in order to fix those places in the house, you know, the house wouldn't have to re-experiencing the lightning,
mm-hmm.
right? You would
right.
just basically need to find the ways where, you know, the light doesn't turn on, and then you follow the cable, and then you find where, you know, that the cable's melted or something. And so it's mm-hmm. the same with your physical body. It's really just about learning what it feels, what these broken down or melted down places in your energy system feel like. Mm-hmm. And then through our care and our love and attention, we mend them. So it's not mm-hmm. absolutely not necessary to go back and relive the trauma, right? And so I think a big, like coming back to your question, a big block yeah. for people is thinking that they have to and just being afraid and therefore just never going there.
Yeah, I know. I've dealt with inner child work and just dealing with the psychological abuse I experienced. So reliving that wasn't mm-hmm. the greatest thing for my inner child, I'll tell you that. I don't know if I would go there anymore.
And it's really and it's not necessary for healing, you know.
A
lot
no,
of
it
people
isn't.
Don't know this.
Yeah. Speaking of your nervous system, how can people heal their nervous system? Because obviously, like you say, the lightning, you know, frays the nervous system. That lightning is like fraying mm-hmm. that, the electrical system of the house. How can people heal their nervous system?
Through learning simple body-centered practices.
Okay.
You know, and using their senses, and then I do actually have one that takes a little longer, but if people go to, you know, I'm sure you'll mention my website, but there's a free gift on the website that will teach people how to do it.
Okay.
And in a very simple way, though, it really is about when a trigger happens, instead of going into the reaction, going into the fear, or going into, you know, our behavior, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, somebody says something and we feel scared and we just, our normal reaction would be to just disconnect and leave the conversation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Then instead of basically reacting to the trigger and going into our behavior, the idea is to start feeling the trigger. You know, we might still have to leave the room, but then we would stay with the trigger and allow ourselves to feel it. And by feeling it, basically, we're starting to integrate it. And sometimes I like to give the picture of when trauma happens, it's almost like you have been given a way too big bite to eat or way too greasy, something that your stomach just can't digest at once. And you can feel it, and you do all kinds of things to not feel it because you don't want your life to be dictated by it. But the only way to actually make it go away is by putting your attention on it, feeling it, and then bit by bit, literally metabolizing, you know, it. And when I'm saying it, it's the trigger, right? It could be mm-hmm. a knot in your stomach. It could be you're trembling. It could be, you know, you're holding your breath. It could be you're completely blanking and not being able to think. And so there's all kinds of physical sensations that go with that. And if we just stay with our attention on the physical sensation, and the physical sensation gives us the location of where the energy is stuck or where the system has broken down, and then by putting our attention on it, that attention is mending, seems to be mending that part of your system and making it so that energy can flow again. And so for me, doing this is a daily practice, and I do it all the time, right? I've practiced it so much now that whenever there's just a slight feeling of disharmony, instead mm-hmm. of me trying to figure it out with the person, you know, if I was talking to you and all of a sudden I would start to feel uneasy, rather than trying to figure it out with you and process my feelings and, you know, or like drink coffee or do whatever, I would just turn my attention inward and put my attention on that feeling. And then it mm-hmm. shifts very quickly normally. So it's almost like a constant energy hygiene that I do. And for me, that practice, you know, has resulted in transforming my life completely, because 5 years ago I had a complete physical breakdown. You know, my life was okay, but I was struggling in relationship. I was married to somebody who wasn't the love of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a good relationship, but it was just not the thing. And mm-hmm. We were going through bankruptcy, and we had a second child, and he wasn't sleeping, and I wasn't living my purpose, right? I was just time home doing the dishes and doing diapers, and so I just mm-hmm. had a complete physical breakdown. and realized all these things I'm sharing with you today, you know, about the energy and really learning to manage your own energy. And within 3 years, my life transformed completely, you know, to the extent of being with my soulmate, having, I've never made any money before that point, and since then having sold close to $1 million in my services, owning a house in the Caribbean. I mean, like, you know, I'm not just talking, I feel better, but there's very tangible, different results in my life now because of this practice. And the reason why that is because everything that we want is already here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feeling good and having the relationship that you want and all of that. And the only reason why we don't have it is because we're vibrationally and energetically not a match. And especially if we've gone through trauma or anything bad in our life, the negative energy and emotion that's still stuck in us from those experiences is what's weighing us down, right? So it's not so much about repatterning ourselves and working on ourselves. It's really more about transforming this negative energy that's still stuck in our physical body, in our mm-hmm. cells, in our nervous system, and transforming it into a positive one. And then your life could change, you know, very quickly and dramatically, like mine has.
Okay, yes, we're all survivors. Definitely. We're all not only surviving but thriving and living our lives the way we should be, definitely. This is a common question that I get from my clients. How can women feel safe with men again? Because if they've been sexually abused, how do they feel safe again, Carolyn?
That's a great question, and actually goes back again to the nervous system. Right? The brain is part of our nervous system, and there is different parts to our brain. And the one that gets impacted the most when trauma happens is the reptilian brain, which is kind of like the first part of the brain, the lowest part of the brain, at the bottom mm-hmm. of our brainstem, right, where the neck kind of goes into our body, where all the nerves go into the periphery or come back into the brain. And so any information from the outside comes there first. And so it's kind of the brain that makes the decision whether something is safe for us or not.
Mm.
Now, if we've gone through trauma, that part of our brain gets put into charge more than in a normal person. Meaning that, you know, even though you might be encountering situations that are perfectly fine,
mm-hmm.
this part of the brain now is in charge and making decisions and seeing everything, basically, because this part is more in charge. We're starting to see everything as not safe and everything as a threat. Because this brain is, its job is to keep us safe and it's surviving. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the brain that's very old and it's connected to us surviving, but it's not the part where we can make good decisions or, you know, be in our genius or think logically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem when trauma happens is that you no longer, or you have less access to these higher parts of your brain that would help you be more resourceful, that would help you make better choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to feel safe, you need to learn to help this part, the reptilian brain part of your brain, to calm down. Because then, you know, once you, and again, you can do that through breathing. There's many different ways that you can help your reptilian brain to switch off and not be on the whole time, because
mm-hmm.
you're literally a different person. You know, and it happens so fast, and so it takes a little practice, you know, and it takes learning your triggers, and it takes knowing yourself and knowing when, you know, you can feel it coming on, and there's ways where you can catch it and stop yourself before it kicks in so that you can actually stay in a resource and peaceful state. And so to feel safe, it's really learning what you need to do to stay in a relaxed, basically, in a relaxed state. And then when you can do that, then you can be connected to your intuition, and your intuition will always keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
Everything is connected to everything.
Yes, yes, it will. I totally believe in that. That's so true. It takes a while to rewire the brain. I've been through that, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm. That's the work. Yeah,
it's a lot of it is a work, but once you get through it, you're cool. Your life does get better. What makes a woman susceptible to sexual abuse?
My theory is that because of, you know, thousands of years of being independent and having to do anything basically to survive, right? We had to do, like, if we were dependent on a man, you know, if the man was the economic provider and we were dependent on his providing for us, then in the past, you know, we did whatever we had to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is very deeply ingrained in us still, even though we're, you know, in 2018 now, this feeling of we just have to do whatever to survive. Right, mm-hmm. Even though it's not really true, we don't have to do the things. And so oftentimes I think that we don't realize that we could actually say no, or we could, you know, we could speak up. And so my theory is that that's what makes us most susceptible to then, you know, ending up in a situation that we don't want to be in,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, detrimental to us.
Yes, you got to know you have triggers, though, and that's part of the battle, too, is becoming aware of those triggers and mm-hmm. and those mm-hmm. roles that we have. So as you talk about in the intro, ancestral healing, that's another thing that people
oftentimes, you know, these patterns are passed down the way we behave. You know, it's not, we, you know, I haven't experienced, nobody forced me to do anything in my life, and yet, you know, for a long time, I said yes to everything that anybody wanted from me just because I was mm-hmm. afraid something bad was going to happen if I didn't, you know, and I couldn't explain where that was coming from other than that it's really deeply ingrained in our DNA and, you know, the way the women behaved in our lineage gets passed down through the, you know, through the generations.
Mm-hmm.
And men, oh, the women and women behaved.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I know. When I start looking at my family, the women in my family, the heritage, I'm like, wow, man, I got to change some of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go there anymore. And like I said, though, it's awareness. It really is.
Yeah.
What role does personal responsibility play when it comes to healing?
That's a good question. It's actually usually the most controversial point because a lot of people, when they hear responsibility, they think that what I mean is saying that it's partly their fault, right? It's
mm-hmm.
And that's not what I'm saying at all. When I talk about responsibility, it's more like we are responsible to do something with our life, right? Like we can either stay in a victim relationship and say, hey, you know, this happened to me, and therefore I'll never be in my power, and I'll just never be able to get over it, and I'm going to be damaged. Or we can say, okay, this happened to me, and I want to still create an amazing life, right? That's where the responsibility part comes from, and it's hard, you know,
yes,
for a lot of people, because it does feel very righteously so that somebody did something to you, and it's their fault, and you know, they should do something, or, you know, it shouldn't have happened, all those things. But the problem with those kinds of thoughts is that they don't help us to get better, you know?
Right, yeah.
They don't really help us.
No, they don't. And it's what a friend of mine used to say, you could be a victim or a victor. You're going to be a victory mm-hmm. over your situation, or you'll be a victim. And sometimes, too, like I said, with the ancestral situation, isn't sexual abuse, from my understanding, carried down, passed down generationally as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, often it's, you know, the people that do it have been abused themselves, you know. It's a well-known fact. And it's really not so much about sex. It's really about power and feeling powerless. And then, you know, if somebody did that to you, you felt powerless. And now when you're growing up, you know, in order for you to feel powerful, then you need somebody younger usually that you can overpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Why are sexual abuse survivors at a disadvantage in life, in your opinion?
It's because of what happens with the brain, right? Because once you've gone through trauma and your brain is more in fight or flight, you're having a harder time to be resourceful, to be in your genius, to be a productive member of society, because you can't use your brain as well as other people can. You know, it's a kind of a disability, actually, physically.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, it can be reversed. You know, it's not like losing an arm or a leg, but it is. Yeah.
Anything can be reversed, in my opinion. But you got to want to go there before and believe that.
Yes.
Some people don't.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to go there. So tell us about your book, Blossom. I like the name Blossom.
Yeah. I was driving one day. I knew I was going to write a book. And I just saw the cover and the word Blossom, and I didn't quite know, you know, what the book was about or how it's going to come to pass. But then working with it and going through the journey with the women, it actually turned out it's a 7-step process, and every letter of the word Blossom stands for one of the steps. The first step is B, bring your mind on board. It has to do with dealing with resistance, because anytime we want to change something, if we don't face our resistance, usually our resistance will kick in and keep us from making any kind of changes. And it looks really very logical, and you know, it's very clever how our subconscious wants to keep us where we are, because where we are is known, and where we, you know, what's known is safe. And while safety is a good goal in life, it's not necessarily one that makes you happy over the long term. You know, obviously everybody should be safe in life, but joy and peace and love would be a better aim in life than just being safe. Anyway, so we deal with just understanding that happens and what to do when it happens right up front. And then the second step is called land within your emotions. Really learning what feeling feels like and so forth, because we do need our body as a healing instrument, basically. And if you're not in your body, and if you don't know how to play the instrument or how to use it, it's no good, you know. And so it's a gradual, the whole book and the whole, it's a 7-week course, and there's exercises for every day and guided meditations and so forth, downloadable things. The whole journey is geared towards helping you re-enter your body in a gentle way, and using your body as a tool for healing, and then obviously transforming your negative experiences and energy into positive ones. And so the third step has to do with learning what your intuition feels like, really locking it in and learning to trust it, and starting to practice making decisions based on your intuition and seeing the changes in your life, which is exciting. And then the fourth step is about seeing with the eyes of truth. That's really the step where people are encouraged to take responsibility and get to a place where, yes, this happened to me, and how can I move forward? What's the gift in what happened? Right? So oftentimes that's actually the most challenging step for a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the fifth step is stretching beyond your limits, and that's when people actually learn how to do the emotional integration work, the energetic integration work. Step six is own all of who you are, really learning about feminine and masculine energy, which we all have. And in my own journey, it's been, and still to this day, this is one of my ongoing work, is to really learn about the feminine and the masculine within myself and also in relationships. Because so far, I'm in my second marriage, right? What I can say is that when I am really clear about being in my own energy and using the masculine energy for when I need it, but being predominantly in the feminine energy also when I'm communicating with the opposite sex, it brings much more peace to my relationships than with everybody, than if it's not so. And so there's a lot of tricks to learn, and it's very practical, again, because it's about our day-to-day interaction with people, which can either make our life miserable or, you know, paradise, basically. And then the seventh step is just a continuation of that. It's called Meet the World and Your Beloved in Wholeness, and it's really about taking what you've learned into the world and applying it so that you can really see changes in your reality, materialized reality.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. That's great. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Going through, feeling it to heal it, as it's been brought to my attention.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the things that I'm teaching too.
That's important. Okay, what is pleasure intelligence? This is interesting. That's fun.
Yeah.
Pleasure intelligence.
So when I had my complete breakdown, I realized that, well, first of all, I had my complete breakdown. I literally left my body and was catapulted out of my body and thought I was kind of done, but then I was sent back into my body. And okay, with kind of the words, you know, Carolyn, your work isn't done here. Start really making decisions based on what feels good to you. Like, be really radical about making decisions, self-sacrificing yourself, and see what, you know, how your life looks in a little while. And so I had nothing to lose at that point, and I started practicing this, and then later calling it really developing pleasure intelligence and pleasure IQ. But the gist of it is really learning a new kind of intelligence, which is based on navigating your life based on what feels good to you. Like, the idea is that we're all connected to everything that we want, and the way we navigate ourselves towards having it is by making decisions that feel right. It's almost like, you know, the universe has already laid out the breadcrumbs, and we have to just pick them up and follow. And the breadcrumbs are our feelings of, like, yes, this, you know, yes, that's what I want. Yes, this feels mm-hmm. right to me. Even mm-hmm. if it's things that are scary or, you know, or things that require big decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are the two necessary things to manifest that we want in life? So what are the two necessary things that we want to manifest in our lives?
First of all, is really learning how to get yourself into a harmonious, energetic space. And we partly do that by learning about the feminine and the masculine, and also by releasing, you know, negative emotions. And then the second thing that's required is to allow ourselves to know what we truly want. So, you know, a lot of people stop themselves because they don't know how they could have something. Mm-hmm. Our job is just to know, yes, I do like chocolate. Yes, I want to move to the Caribbean. Yes, I like warm weather, you know, like to know what we truly want. And yes, then let the universe do that. Okay, this is how you're going to live in the Caribbean, or, you know, this is how you're going to get the chocolate part.
Well, that's how I did 3-4 years ago now. I moved from New York to Florida, so I was like, yes, I want to move in a warm climate
yes.
where there's sun every day. I
yeah,
know, this is what
know.
I want. Yeah, definitely. What are the four steps of the Pleasure IQ system?
So one of the first steps of the first step is to release shame and guilt, because shame and guilt, as we talked about in the beginning, are really the most detrimental energy patterns or energies that we can carry and be exposed to or be living in. There, you know, there's a scale of consciousness that Dr. David Hawkins kind of developed.
Oh, yes.
And it's mm-hmm. measurable. Mm-hmm. And shame and guilt are around 20 to 30. Courage is 200. Courage is when things start going good and being life-affirming.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first step is really getting out of those low vibrational frequencies.
Okay. So speaking of
go ahead.
How did you meet your current mate, Paul?
He actually found me on Match.com. I had put up a picture and, you know, didn't have a lot of energy to pursue it because I was really busy working, and I did my energy work, and I really was very clear that what was required was meeting my soulmate at this point and not anybody less.
Uh-huh.
And I had been courageous. You know, it takes courage, right? So I had been courageous, and I had said on math.com that I'm looking for my divine partner. And obviously part of me was thinking, oh, my God, you know, people are, you know, which guy is going to reach out to me? Everybody's just going to think she's cuckoo. You know, that was a big part of me, but I did it anyways, because for me, that was my truth. I wanted my divine partner.
Right.
And then sure enough, you know, I didn't get very many. I got two inquiries, I think, and one of them was an older guy, and then the other one was Paul. And he responded back to me because of the, I had my, you know, I wanted my divine partner in my title. And his first message to me was, I think you're very interesting, and I think it's very interesting that you think that a partner could be divine. I'm intrigued, you know? So that caught his eye, and So that's why it's so important for us to be really honest about what we truly want, because otherwise the universe can't deliver.
That is very true. Very true, because that's where I'm at right now. I just want my divine partner. I don't want these losers or guys going fly-by-nights. I want the real deal. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so for me, you know, once that was really clear, he came within, like, a week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just our inner boundaries, you know, that create movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely, definitely. How does energy come into play when it comes to healing?
So in my world, everything is connected to energy, right? And it's just about us, you know, there's nothing broken with us. It's just about us changing our state, basically. And so for me, healing really doesn't have to do with fixing anything. It just has to do with you learning about different energy states and learning tools that will help you up-level yours, basically, or me, you know, us up-level ours.
Okay. That's true. Everything's about energy, and people don't understand that. Well, that's why I have the show week, and so I can educate people on that, you know? It's all about energy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. What are some of the energetic spiritual laws you work with? Your law of attraction?
Yeah, I mean, the law of attraction is one that just does like attract like. So if you're in a higher state, you know, you attract better things, basically. Another one is the law of vibration, which just states everything has a certain vibration, and there's lower vibrational frequencies and higher vibrational frequencies, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The higher vibrational frequencies feel better to us. They feel like love, abundance, joy. And also when you are in a state of a higher vibration, your life looks differently because like attract like, right? And so if you feel really amazing, chances are your life will go into an amazing direction. And if you feel really bad, usually, you know, life keeps being frustrated or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another law that was really, really like life-changing for me, understanding it and seeing it really work, is the law of polarity, which basically states that nothing in the universe was created a half. Everything in the universe is created as a whole, which means that a left is created with, you know, there's no left without a right. There's no up without a down. And there's also no desire without its fulfillment. And for me, that, you know, that was, I mean, I kept giving it lip service for a long time. You know, I kept hearing this and I kept hearing, oh, you know, what you want wants you. And, you know, which is another way of saying that nothing was created half. But then when I met Paul, it really sank in how this is true, because for us, we're such a match, and we've both been looking for 20 years, and he wasn't even married. You know, I've gone through this relationship where I was married for 8 years, but not really in love, and always looking for this other person, and people kept telling me, you know, therapists, oh, you know, you're just looking because you're restless, and you're just not in love, you're not loving yourself enough, and blah, 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 blah. And I bought into that, and personally, that's why it took so long for us to meet. But then once we met, you know, he was definitely looking for me, and I was definitely looking exactly for him. Like, there's no doubt, because, so, you know, we were already, our partnership was already created. That's why we've been looking and looking and looking till we found each other. So for me, I have it's no longer lip service, you know that everything in the universe is created whole, you know. And if you have a desire for something, that desire is here because the other thing is seeking you right now. You know, whether it's money or a car or help, or it doesn't matter. Because by this law, by virtue of this law, this thing is here and looking for you just the same as you're looking for it. It wants you just as much as you want it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
How can we overcome negative subconscious programming? This is an interesting question. What's your take on that? Because I've been working on this all my life.
Yeah, by really just focusing on the energy work and getting out of trying to work on yourself and understanding energy and learning things that make you feel better and make you be at a higher vibrational state. Because the reason why we go into negative, in the resonance with the patterns aren't actually ours. You know, we're just vibrating at a lower frequency, and then we go into resonance with low vibrational patterns. So the same way, if we feel better and start being at a high vibration, we get in resonance with higher vibrational patterns. These patterns that we think are our patterns, they're not personal. They're collective patterns that we basically sink into based on our vibration, right? That's the law of attraction. We start resonating at a certain level, and then the thoughts and the feelings, and they're all in connection with these fields that are around us, energetic fields, and we think they're ours, and then we keep working and working on ourselves when all we really need to do is just learn how to feel better and get a higher vibration.
That's definitely true. I agree with that, so that's for sure. What are some specific steps people can take to heal from sexual trauma? Where can they begin if they're just starting their journey?
Yeah, so I would send them to my website, which is womeninTheFlow.com, and on there, there's two things. One of them will teach them how to feel their true yes and no, so they can know what their intuition is really teaching them or telling them, so they can feel safe and start helping their brain calm down, which we talked about. And then the other one is the recording on how to do the actual mending the nervous system, using your body and finding the triggers and putting your attention on it and transforming the negative imprint into positivity, so to speak.
Yep, that's very true. It's all about imprints and taking care of that. Gosh, I've been through a lot of healing work. I look back. It all comes back. What is one of the most effective modalities when it comes to healing sexual trauma? So there's Reiki, there's integrated energy therapy, there's myofascial release. What is, in your opinion, what is the most effective modality?
To me, it's family constellations, you know, which is a form of energy work, and it's usually done in a group, and it's very fast and very effective. And, you know, there's obviously, because you're in your body, there's a lot that you can do for yourself. And then there's times where we need somebody, you know, an outside person to help us. And then I still use family constellations and, you know, go to other people when I'm really stuck and when I don't know, you know, how to get myself to the next level.
So tell us more about family constellations.
Family constellations was developed by an Austrian named Bert Hellinger, and he observed a minister. He was a minister and a psychotherapist, and he observed the Sulu tribes that he was ministering to doing ritual. When a person was sick or when somebody did something, they didn't work with the individual, they worked with the entire tribe, so to speak. And so he realized that we're all connected to a system, and that usually when we don't feel good, it's not just because of us, but it's really because we carry something for our ancestors. So it works a lot with revealing which ancestral pattern is responsible for the way, you know, you're suffering or behaving in this lifetime that's not helping you.
That's interesting. I like that. Let's have to look into that. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It is. What can people do if they don't have memories of the abuse? Maybe they suspect it, but they can't remember. What's your advice to them?
It's really not necessary, because, you know, you still feel that, like, you're still in your house and you're still feeling the triggers, right? All we need in order to heal is working with the symptoms. And if you go into hyperarousal anytime, you know, there's sex or, you know, anything threatening around you, you can be assured that something happened to you. You don't need to know what it was. We just need to work with your nervous system and help your nervous system to relax, basically.
What are some of the resources that you have, and where can people find them?
So they're on Women in the Flow, and Blossom the Book is one resource. I also have a Facebook group called Women in the Flow. If you go to my website, womeninTheFlow.com, you can find a link to the group, the Facebook group. I do daily energy work in there, and you can ask me questions, so that's a really good place to get started. And then I have online courses, I do retreats. If somebody wants to really, you know, go on a deep journey and go away with me in a group, one of my favorite things to do is to take people to beautiful places and dive deep with them over 3-4 days, 5 days, Those are some of the resources. I have tons of YouTube videos. But the best way is really to just go to my website and download the free gifts and then come to the group and start exploring.
And what is the most important thing you want our listeners to take away from this interview?
You know, most people feel powerless most of their lives. And what I've come to believe is that we don't have power over other people. We don't have power over our circumstance most of the time. But we do have power over our own energetic state. And so to keep remembering that when you're feeling bad, when things aren't working, keep remembering it's all about your energy, and you do have power over your own energetic state. It might take a little while. You know, if you've been subjected to a lot of bad things, it might take you a little while to detox and feel better. But you have the power to do that work. You know, there's nobody that can take that from you.
And once again, where can people find you, Carolyn?
It's womenintheflow.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for this interview. This was very enlightening. I'm glad you wrote this book, and I feel it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Join us next week for another enlightening guest. May the angels carry you through. Take care.